I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a beautiful day. I just came from the, it's called the Take a Knee March, the 10K March with Royce White and PJ Hill. I'll tell you more about that in a little while. But we've, again, what we've tried to do on this show throughout the last couple of weeks is bring you perspective from the people that understand it better than I do, better than most of you do. What does this mean to them? What happened in the city. We've been doing it through Athletes' Voices, but beyond. And we've been trying to tap into those people that have lived here, grew up here, and understand what it is that we've seen and experienced here over the last 12 days. George Blackwell is going to join us a bit later. He marched when it was MLK back in the day, but went on to become an executive right here in downtown Minneapolis. Now retired, get his perspective. Steve Winfield will join us. Steve marched as well as a University of Minnesota student. And now his wife's heavily involved with an alternative high school over in St. Paul that was burned. We'll visit with him about that. But I want to start the show with Robert Mestis. Robert's one of those guys that I met a long time ago when he was a skinny point guard for De La Salle, and then moved on to play in the city conference at Roosevelt, and played the Division I basketball, and now coaches it, and is just... Rob, I got to tell you, I almost got tears in my eyes when you sent me a text the other day, because you and I go back a few minutes, and it just meant a lot that you stopped and took the time to reach out to me on a personal note. I appreciated that very much.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think you probably take for granted, but to be able to, as a journalist or somebody in the media, to be able to go into the heart of the city, especially with the tension that's going on right now, and be as comfortable as you are, and to have the kind of respect that you have from the people in the city, not just athletes, but just people in the city. I think that says a lot about you and your character. So I just wanted to let you know I was impressed by it. And, you know, like I said in the text, I'm happy that you're doing it and the story is coming out from you, because people really respect what you say. And so that says a lot about yourself.
I appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, what have, you know, you grew up here. You've lived this. This is your life, man. When things started to boil, and you know, it certainly starts with George Floyd's death, of course, but then it just takes on a whole new storyline over on the south side of the city in particular. Take us through what you saw and the emotions, and was it, you know, did you anticipate it getting that big that soon?
You know, it was pretty ironic, because the night it happened, or the day that it happened, early evening, that was the Monday, I think, I was actually about two blocks from where it happened. Mm-hmm. And I drove up, I was driving down 38th, and I drove up there, and there was like a blockade, and I took a U-turn, and I remember texting my wife saying, you know, something's going on 38th in Chicago, I don't know what. And then I found out the very next day. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen this so many times. So in the beginning, I didn't anticipate, you know, the uprising that we actually seen and that we're going through, because, you know, people, you know, fail to realize, you know, we have Jamar Clark, who was killed while in handcuffs in North Minneapolis. Obviously, Philando Castillo, he was in St. Paul. But we've had so many incidences that I didn't really expect, you know, Minneapolis to be the one city, the town that was going to create the revolution. And I really believe that Minneapolis is what kind of took this whole process and push it to another level. Early on in the week, there was all 50 states had done some type of protest, and I think that says a lot about the residents of Minneapolis and kind of where we're at the boiling point as a country and then also as a city.
Yeah, I want you to comment on someone that you know that we've all watched, and you know, he was a first-round draft pick in the NBA, great basketball player, played on, I think, the greatest high school basketball team ever at Hopkins, and that's Royce White. And I, you know, I've known Royce very well over the years, so have you. And I guess I'm not surprised that he's taken this role as a community activist. But what I am, I'm just coming from the march that he set up today. And I want to say I'm surprised by it. But he really knows how to get people to come out and he motivate them, doesn't he?
He does. You know, Royce has always had that type of voice. I mean, I remember, you know, recently he was in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
You know, not many people take on LeBron James. He had a comment or two about LeBron James. I think it's the way he was brought up. Frank White, as you probably obviously know, is his grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, who is a great proponent of African-American studies, African-Americans in sports, African-Americans in academia. So he comes from a bloodline of folks that want the story to be heard and want the people's voices to be heard. And I think people look at him, you know, he's turned down millions of dollars. I mean, he basically walked away from the NBA, and I think deservingly so. I mean, he did it for the right reason. But how many people do we know ever would turn down that money for a cause? And I think, you know, people respect that. They know that about him. And, then, you know, P.J. Hill was part of that as well. And,
yep.
You know, P.J., I've been, you know, coaching P.J. forever.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of him. Just kind of, you know, people know he's the guy that you're never going to hear a swear word out of PJ's mouth. You know, and as an adult, you know, you're like, oh, whatever, you're going to hear him swear. I mean, that's what kind of kid he is or what kind of young man he is. And both of those guys together, they're very powerful in our community. So I'm glad they're taking the forefront and, you know, leading the call.
I got to tell you something, because it can be scary to lead. And I interviewed PJ after the semi-truck driver went through on Sunday, and everybody was at Code Red, right? And PJ came and did a live shot with me, and he was very emotional about it. And after that, he said, because everybody's watching through our CBSN, we've got a new device so people can watch nationally. And he said, I don't know how many national radio shows and TV shows have reached out to me. But here's, I think, the cool part about this, Rob. He also told me he works at Wells Fargo as a financial planner, and he said the C-level folks, his bosses' bosses, came to him and said, hey, we saw you. What can we do for you? How can we help? And I thought, now that really is a sign of progress, isn't it? Because he didn't see that coming, nor was that his intent.
No. I think it says, I mean, I think that speaks to PJ and Wells Fargo, but I think it speaks to just the Minneapolis vibe in general. You know, we look at the protests. A lot of people on the outside looking in say, you know, these people are tearing down their own city. They're mad at the businesses around here, when that's not necessarily the case. You know, when you're frustrated and you're angry, there's a lot of emotions that come out. People aren't able to figure out how to deal with those. And unfortunately, you know, some of those businesses were casualties of that. But our community, Minneapolis, is very diverse. As you've been talking about it, people have been seeing it. You know, you have a great number of African-Americans, of Caucasian, of Asian, of Hispanic people that are out. And I think it speaks to the whole of the Minneapolis in general, north and south Minneapolis. You know, we care about our city, we care about people, and I think that's why, you know, even though I was surprised that it started this basically revolution across the country and across the world.
The world, yeah.
I'm surprised, you know, because that's Minneapolis, that's the vibe of Minneapolis.
When you gather the young men that you coach at the next opportunity and you gather them around and you begin to converse about this, and I know you will, what will be their questions, do you anticipate, and what will be your answers?
So one of the questions I've gotten already from a few different players is, and from other people hypothetically, is, what would you mind if we were to kneel during the national anthem? And I know that's been something that's been going on for a long time. In the past, you know, I've always been open to allowing students to do whatever they feel is necessary. But especially now, if players, you know, want to show protest for whatever reason, I think it's my job to provide that platform for them. Students are going to ask a lot of questions, especially about Minneapolis in general. You know, why are these buildings being tore down? Why are they being burnt? And just being able to sit down with them and speak to them about the reality of what's been going on with our police department and our policing in general in the city. But, you know, the questions that the students have or the athletes have are going to be vast. And, I'm ready to answer. And I think that's what we started to do. You know, luckily, being up and down at the protest pretty much every day, I've been either on 38th in Chicago or up and down Lake Street. And I've run into my players and former players.
Sure.
And one of the things that I've tried to do is keep talking to them about keeping a level head. You know, the young people are the ones leading this revolution. And so I want to support that for them, but I also want them to be safe because, you know, kids, young people, like I said, they have this anger and this guilt, this emotion. I just want to make sure that they utilize it the right way so that way their message could be heard without them being physically injured or even emotionally injured.
And along those lines, do you think, Rob, that they come out of this with more clarity or more confusion right now?
Oh, I think it's clarity. You know, one of my friends on Facebook asked me how old is too young to bring a kid up to some of the protests or to the vigil on 38th in Chicago. And I told a couple of friends, hey, I brought my 8-year-old daughter with me. And I think it's important because they need to see this part of history. This is going to be a major part in history. You know, the civil rights movement obviously is the most, I think, well-known piece of civil rights activism that this country has ever seen. But I think this, our Minneapolis, the way we reacted to the current climate, we're going to have a place in history. And I think it's important for the young folks, even as early as 8, to, even if they don't fully grasp and understand it, to be there so they can say, you know what, I was part of that revolution. This is what happens. And as they get older, they'll understand a little bit more kind of what happened. But, no, I think it's very important for kids, adults, young adults of all ages, of all diversity, to come and show respect and just kind of be there during this time.
Last question. Are you worried about Lake Street's got its own tempo and vibe and personality, and some of it's good and some of it's not. You know, we all know that over the years.
Yeah.
But are you worried about it rebuilding, that it could struggle to be rebuilt because it'll struggle to find people that will step up and be small business owners there?
You know, I've thought about that a lot. One of the things that I've tried to make a point of is try to shop local or try to shop minority-owned businesses. I think one of the things that people are talking about is when we do rebuild, let's have people from the community actually pitch in and let's build our own places so that way the businesses that are in the community are people that live in the community or from the community that care for the community. You know, I have a couple basketball players, former basketball players, Ibrahim Elamin, Khalid Elamin's son.
Yeah.
He works with a clothing company called Be Great. We have Arian Farrar Jr. He works with a company. It's called Captain Rebel. So, and then Sam Willis, you know Sam Willis.
Yeah, what's Sam up to?
He actually owns a place right there on 38th in Chicago. It's called Just Turkey. He was supposed to open the week of the killing of George Floyd. And so he's going to wait until the 4th of July to do his opening. But, you know, shopping local, supporting Black-owned businesses, supporting minority-owned businesses, but in the same breath, hoping that minority-owned businesses can come in, build from the bottom, bring it all up, we can make our city energized once again.
I mentioned earlier that Royce played on what I thought was the greatest high school basketball team in the state of Minnesota. They won the state that year. And I'm sure that you're chomping at the bit because you might have been on one that was just about as good, but you got upset in the region, right?
Yeah, you remember that. You know what?
Well, it was you. Let me just see now. Okay, you, John Thomas, Bebop Walker, right?
Yep, Sam Willis.
Sam Willis, and who was the fifth one?
We had Elijah Hanner or Boyd Snoddy. They both.
They switched off, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we had 5 Division I players on that team. And, you know, it was a great learning experience for me, obviously, with John making it to the NBA, playing 14 years in the NBA, and all those older guys that I had an opportunity to play with. So I was lucky, but, yeah, it was a great team. But you can't be counted as one of the greats if you didn't win it. So, as much as I want to talk, I can't.
I hear you. Hey, I just so appreciate you coming on with us tonight and giving us perspective. Appreciate our relationship over the years as well. I value that a lot.
Absolutely. I do, too. So thanks a lot, man, and keep doing what you're doing. The community appreciates it. I think coming from somebody who knows the city, who's been part of the fabric of the city, it really means a lot. So thanks a lot.
You bet. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks.
Wow. He's something, and
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.